listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys rewatch Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Sieber.
And here welcome. We are,
episode three.
Episode three of the rewatch, everybody. Coming
That's
in
right.
hot.
Coming at you hot. I'm pumped up. I'll tell you what. Watching Sex and the City for the first time ever, mostly, is very exciting. But rewatching a great show with your bros, that's where it gets good.
Yeah.
I love a good rewatch. Are you kidding me?
I know you do.
The second time's even better because it feels like the second year of the first family reunion was like, wow, this went really well. Should we do it again next year? You come back, everyone's like, man, let's keep these traditions. Let's add a few new ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Everybody know, like your Uncle Wayne's gonna pass out. Like you've already experienced the bad part of Uncle Wayne.
Are we gonna do
Uncle
the yearly
Randy?
Card game? Yeah. Although, it's not until year four that it blows up and someone from the family decides not to come back.
Although this would be kind of like the scenario you're describing is more like if you relived your family reunion as Groundhog Day. Like you just show up and the exact same thing happens. You just know more about it.
Ned?
It's like
Ned Ryerson?
Ned Ryerson.
Well, that's what those things are. That's what traditions are.
Yeah, but they don't happen. They don't, you don't show up and just watch the same thing happen verbatim.
Not verbatim, but that's not what this is. This is the conversation is the difference.
Ooh, I feel like you guys are starting this podcast off with a healthy debate. This is great.
Yeah. I'll go.
Well,
in.
Yeah. I mean, we're not just watching the show. We watch and we talk. So it's
Yeah. I understand your premise. I'm just here to poke holes in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that no one needs to poke holes in is the fact that you're wondering where episode two is. That's on our Patreon.
Can I be the little Swiss boy who just sticks my finger in those holes? Plugs up the dike?
Yeah. Plug up that dike. Plug up that dike, man. Get your little wooden shoes
on. Is
it
a Swiss
plug
boy? Is that who did
nope,
it?
Dutch. It's a Dutch boy.
Oh, Dutch boy.
Old Dutch boy.
If you want to listen to Models and Mortals, or if you want to listen to whatever the next episode is we watch,
the
Valley
next
of 20-something, I think, Valley of 20-something guys, hop on that Patreon, throw us $5 a month, be our little patrons, and we'll whisper in your little ear.
Gross.
Our little
Don't
thoughts
say that.
On the pod.
Stop
it. Man, we're definitely not getting a new patron for that.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we respect you as customers. Be our little patrons. We'll whisper in your little ears. Come on, man. It's 2021, man.
Can we record just Kevin doing ASMR?
Yeah. All of our Patreon episodes are ASMR.
What'd you think of when Skipper didn't buy that cereal? Did you find it to be, what is that? What are you clicking?
To click on my mouse just to give you some little,
These are some earrings that Katie, these are some earrings that Katie bought.
This is the top of my Coke Zero can.
This is definitely the worst bit we've ever done.
That's 100%. You go back into the archives. First of all, this is the thing I like about the rewatch, but what scares me about the rewatch is that we have 142 other episodes and, just on the main feed, and someone could be showing up right now, listening to the ASMR bit, and they're like, I'm out. They have no idea about Cajun Feminist.
They have no idea about ANK.
They have no idea about the greatest hits of what we've had in the past. So you guys got it. You know that sometimes the bits turn out to be an ASMR
bit. What about
bit
the
and
greatest
they just don't
hits?
Work.
What about the greatest hits of the current, of the present, and the future? ASMR Patreons?
Kevin comparing watching Sex and the City to Groundhog's Day. We have the ASMR bit. We have us warming up to our Tony Robbins before the show starts, pumping.
I don't know if we've ever talked about that on the podcast, but before we hit play, we do what famed motivational speaker and accused grifter Tony Robbins does. We raise our hands in the air and then we pump them down like we're doing a chest pull down, and we breathe in and out. We just go, let's do it for 2 seconds, John. Ready? 1, 2, 3. John and Kevin, ready? Go.
Another horrible another bit horrible as we're just blowing into the
word.
It is funny though, because Kevin always just kind of does like Kevin does a slow motion. Roof.
Kevin does Chance the Rapper mid show, walking out, being like, "Hey everyone!"
Hey.
And I hold my mic so I do one hand, so it's only half pumped.
Why do you hold your mic?
Yeah, why do you hold your mic?
Because you're a stand up guy.
No, well,
You're always trying to do a show.
No, because I move my setup occasionally. I think finally I'm finally in like a home base, so I think I might set it up now. But I've had to move around so much that I've gotten used to not having it. And then when I traveled, when I was in Columbus, and I took my stuff home, then that's when I got used to it. And since then, I've been like, eh.
Yeah,
you know, it keeps me engaged.
I've seen a lot of very professional podcasts where someone's just sitting on a couch holding a mic. The podcasting has gotten just so laissez-faire that, like, you're amongst the greats, Kevin. A lot of the people hold their mics.
Yeah, I'm a mic holder.
John and I go radio style. Mm-hmm. We go Stern style.
Mm-hmm.
Did you the Golden Globes were yesterday? Did you guys see that?
We did. We had some stuff up on our Instagram of the girls in the Golden Globes, like when Carrie Bradshaw, aka Sarah Jessica Parker, won in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But I did watch part of the Golden Globes, and I rewatched some things online today, like Jason Sudeikis's speech in a tie-dyed hoodie when he won for Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso, fantastic show. Have both
Ted Lasso
you
is great. It's so good. It's awesome. Man.
So I put on the Instagram, I put congrats to the Golden Globe winners, specifically the ones that won best comedy 20 years ago. And Kristen Davis said, LOL.
That nice. It's pretty amazing when you think about, like, I mean, you and I were talking about this today, Kevin, but like the whole category of like comedy and musical. But now you think about like what would be in there. Is a comedy and musical only for movie? Or is that for TV show too?
I think it's for TV too. No, because it's comedy series. I don't know if there's
maybe it's not musical for TV show. Maybe it's just comedy. But it's interesting to think of like that Sex and the City was a comedy. Because I mean, I think it's very funny. We all think it's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty interesting and pretty cool that it would win for best comedy. Because when you think of comedies now, you would think of like, you know,
that's what it won for, best comedy.
It won for best comedy. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's awesome.
I mean, also like when I've done this for The Sopranos before, and it's crazy because like The Sopranos was up against The Practice and NYPD Blue. The only other show that was like, I think on a new level of like modern television was West Wing. Mm-hmm. But let's see what Sex and the City was up to. I bet it was up against, let's see if we can do it. It was up against Will and Grace, I bet.
Uh-huh. Okay. This is 2000. Was it up against Friends, you think?
Friends, probably. Will and Grace, Friends.
Was Friends still going in 2000?
Yes, because Seinfeld finished in 99.
Okay. No, I am the wrong person. I don't even know what a Golden Globe is.
What else would it be? Dharma and Greg? I'm just thinking of other two-person shows.
Dharma and Greg, I feel like, might have been done by then. Maybe.
We're thinking around? Year 2000, right?
Was Frasier around? That's a good question.
Thank you.
Okay, Frasier, yeah.
So Frasier, Sex and the City, Friends. What was the other one you said, Kevin?
Okay. I almost got it. This will be fun, actually. It's going to be really fun. Original score. Here we go. Okay. Not here we go. Okay. Cool. Okay. I got it. So we have Will and Grace is one.
Mm-hmm.
No Friends. I was right on Dharma and Greg.
Oh, wow.
Okay. There are.
What do you think since 2000? This is another question. What do you think the most amount of time that's gone by with someone not referencing Dharma and Greg? Do you think an entire year has gone by without someone in the world not referencing Dharma and Greg?
No, because the internet, anytime, like there's always something on the internet. So
you think
even
a
if
day has gone by?
No.
No.
You think an hour?
No, I think. Yeah, I think an hour is probably gone. Not 24. No, not an hour. 24 is pushing it.
12 hours? We need to get a counter. We need to devise a Dharma and Greg
counter
reference counter and see how long we can go.
That's get like on you like, let's get someone get on Twitter and just look
Twitter
up
right now. Dharma and Greg.
The last time the hashtag Dharma. All right, keep going.
So listen, we got Sex and the City, Dharma and Greg, Will and Grace. There are two other shows. Two other shows. I can give you hints.
Is one of them like Third Rock from the Sun?
No, that's a good guess. I'll give you a hint.
Frasier's not on there?
Frasier's not on there. One of them had, I believe, the first female orgasm on primetime television was on this
show. I love Lucy.
And it was Ethel. It was Fred getting Ethel off.
Was it the Smurfs with Smurfette?
No. A girl had an orgasm on a horse. I believe this is correct. It's also a law firm. I believe this is a law firm.
Allie McBeal. Okay, yeah, law firm got me.
Allie McSqueal.
First nice one. You know what it sounded like when she had that orgasm? It was more ASMR forever.
All right, ready? The last one. What do you think the last one is?
Allie McSqueal. what else? Is it a show that like we would be like, oh, that show, or is it like Herman's Head or some show like that?
It was a pretty massive show. It was a pretty massive show. It looks like it was on 6 seasons, but there was a major, I mean, it was a big ass show, but it is not necessarily like in the pantheon of great television, but when it was on, it was a big deal.
There's no way I can get it.
Do you think we could get it, Kevin?
I think you could get it if you went back to the future and really saw what was going on.
What was
the show
going on in 2000?
Yeah, you just have to kind of go back to the future and think about that.
I mean, like, there's
I wonder how many of our listeners have already gotten it right now.
I know.
Are screaming.
I just dropped
the major hint. The Allie McSqueal bit. It's this. It's this.
When you said go back to the future, does it have Michael J. Fox in it?
Correct.
Ooh. Oh, it's what was that show? It's on the tip of my tongue.
Sex in the City.
Spin City.
So those were it.
So many people were on Spin City. By the way, Kevin was on Spin City.
Great subtle clue right there.
Good job.
Hey. Great subtle clue.
The quiz man's here for you. So listen how fucking iconic this year was. The Sopranos and Sex in the City won. So it was The Sopranos, Sex in the City.
So is this the year that's like putting HBO on the map?
Yeah. This is the year.
HBO went from like boxing and real sex to like a powerhouse in programming.
Yes. If I could go, let me look. Yeah. Cause the most awards, The Sopranos won the most awards that year. And then I believe the year before was Saving Private Ryan, where it was the movies. Let's get down to TV. The
so
practice.
Golden Globes just does everything.
So
it's like TV. What is it? All entertainment.
They do TV and film, but listen to the year before. So the year before, The Practice and Ally McBeal won. ER, Felicity, Law and Order, X-Files for drama. Ally McBeal, Dharma and Greg, Frasier, Just Shoot Me, Spin City. So the year after that, HBO came on the fucking scene with Sex in the City and The Sopranos. That's just unbelievable. That's like one of the most iconic years in television history right there.
That's pretty
James insane. Gandolfini won Best Actor. Right. And then here's another interesting thing. Oh, Sarah Jessica Parker won for Best Actress. So they won. Edie Falco won for Best Actress. So Sopranos won Best Actor and Actress. HBO, Sarah Jessica Parker won Best Comedy. And then The Sopranos also won Best Supporting. But here's what's interesting. Wow. Nancy Marchland, who played Tony's mom in it. She won Best Supporting. And then Kim Cattrall and Cynthia Nixon were up against her. So they had comedy and drama were up for best supporting in the same Oh, wow. Thing. So they don't separate for best supporting, I guess. So
that's amazing.
Pretty wild stuff.
That
there.
Is very wild.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know that while you were going through that, I looked on Twitter and someone tweeted about Darman and Greg 11 hours ago.
Oh, man. All right. Keep a
there
watch.
There are way more Darman and Greg tweets on Twitter than you would think.
Really?
Wow.
Well, someone, because 21 hours ago, someone said, pick a sitcom from this list tonight and I'll binge rewatch tweet about the one with the most replies. And someone replied 11 hours ago, I'd have picked Darman and Greg. I love that show and I don't know where to watch it anymore. And someone said, it's on Hulu. And the person said, thanks. So there you go.
Okay. Can I give you guys one more deep cut? And I'll give hints, but one more deep cut. The person that won Cecil B. DeMille Award, that's the Lifetime Achievement Award, has a Sex and the City connection the same year that it won that.
Okay.
And it is a reference at the end of season 2, I believe.
Oof.
And it is a movie that is she's the star of the movie that is referenced in at the end of season 2 or 3 when they're referring to his engagement.
Yeah.
Who's the
Oh gosh. It's the movie. What is the name of that movie? It's
you don't need to name the movie. You need to name the actress that's the star of the movie.
I'm out.
Also, she's a Jewish woman and she was in a relationship with an Arab man, and then they in Central Park they were gonna do a concert and they threatened to assassinate her, so she quit performing for like 30 years. She also is Rosie O'Donnell's favorite singer.
Wait, is it,
she's a Yenta.
It's, you know, when you just like blank and you completely know what it is, it's, she directed Yentl, right?
She directed Yentl and she starred in it.
Yeah. It's, oh my gosh. Why did I just like,
she's one of the highest selling musical artists of all time.
It's, good Lord. People are screaming.
People are so
right
mad.
Now.
Stop. This everyone stop yelling.
This started happening a couple years ago when I just like would like see things, but like couldn't remember them anymore.
She has the same first name
Barbara
as my
Streisand.
Mother. Barbara Streisand.
There we go.
Good Lord. That was terrible.
Wow. A game changing Golden Globes and a game changing episode of this podcast. And now we have to go watch
it. That. Let's go watch some Sex and the City.
All right. We're about to watch
One, episode 3.
Bay of Married Pigs.
Is that the one we're watching?
Yeah.
I thought that was episode 4. No. Yeah, it is Bay of Married Pigs today. That's right.
All right.
Do y'all remember anything about Bay of Married Pigs?
No, not now.
I will when I start watching it, but yeah.
Yeah, me too. I don't either. All right. Well,
all right, we'll be back.
Let's get into it.
Bye.
Episode 3, Bay of Married Pigs. Carrie is invited to Patience and Peter's Hamptons house, but in the morning she bumps into Peter in the hall without his underwear on. Some friends introduce her to Sean, the marrying guy, but when she can't keep up with his quick march to marriage, he ditches her for commitment file Charlotte. Miranda's colleague from work introduces her to a lesbian at a baseball game, and they are invited to her senior partner's dinner party as a couple. And now, back to the boys.
And we're back.
Welcome
with the
back.
Good muffins.
The good muffins, the salt, pepper dick.
Yep.
All the things.
Bay of Married Pigs. Bay of Married Pigs was, I've been wondering why this is called Bay of Married Pigs. I know there's the Bay of Pigs invasion, which happened during Kennedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why would this be the Bay of Married Pigs? Did they go into the invasion and they were like,
it was a Cold War.
Yeah. When she was writing her first laptop, I kind of couldn't help but wonder scene. She was comparing, dating in New York City to the Cold War.
Okay.
And
my question is, sorry, go ahead.
Well, single people and married people are in like a standoff,
right?
Cold War.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I guess also the guy was a pig.
It seems like you just call the episode the Cold War instead of.
Well,
Bay
they
of
do that later though.
Yeah, but it's.
That's what they said when they named the later one that they're like, oh shit.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Remember how we ham-fisted Bay of Married Pigs together? Well, it kind of worked. But you're telling me that this was based off of a historical event called the Bay of Pigs. Wait, the Bay of Pigs invasion? So what you're
Bay of Pigs the part of the Cuban Missile Crisis?
The reason I'm confused is I only know about Bay of Pigs from one thing, and it's it's just from the Billy Joel song.
That's funny.
Bay of Pigs invasion. That's a really good
JFK blown away.
So here's my question about this episode that Katie and I started talking about briefly is like, I feel like they felt an immense amount of pressure to get married as single people in New York. And I know this was like 1999 and potentially a very different social circle than we are used to roaming in. But I was single in New York from the 2010s all the way to the 2016s. And do you guys feel an immense amount of pressure to get married in the city? Is that because is it because of our social circle, or is it just like a different time and place? Is it because you're men? Like Katie said she didn't feel that kind of pressure when she lived in New York, and I'd love to talk about that.
They're older. How old are they? They're mid-30s.
Right, they're mid-30s. They're like 30. I think they're like 35, 36 when the show starts.
That's a good point.
I think if Katie was 35, they're 36 now, she might feel that.
But none of them seem to feel the pressure that I feel like women that we know that are 35, 36, and most women, I'm assuming, feel that pressure because like if they want to have kids, there's kind of like a point when you get to the place where it's like, if you're going to have kids, you should do it now. But none of them seem to feel a self-imposed pressure. I feel like that pressure seems to be self-imposed from people that I'm friends with. It didn't seem like they felt that at all. It seemed like they felt it. They felt this. It felt like they were like the married people in their lives saw them as a threat and didn't like them because they were single.
They said, and this is at their chat and they say something that I think is very interesting. I haven't digested it fully yet, but Charlotte says she feels as a single person, she feels like a loser. Miranda says she feels like a leper, and Samantha feels like a whore. And I think like loser, leper, whore is like a great Christian rock album from like the early 90s, maybe.
so good. Loser, leper, whore was...
Loser, leper, whore, Jars of Clay. But I think that's like really interesting that those are the insecurities that they feel for being single women. And Miranda mentions again about being a leper when she was an outcast at her law firm for not having a partner.
Right.
But I wonder like when Charlotte feels like a leper, or I mean, I guess Samantha like mentions at the party, she's like, I slept with that guy mm-hmm. guy. And I just thought that was like a really catchy loser, leper, whore, but also like very interesting that they were feeling that way.
Yeah.
I think if we stepped back and didn't adjust to our experience of our 20s and adjusted to 34 to 36. I mean, even in quarantine, me and you were talking about it, Corey. Like, we've had three or four friends that have gotten married in the past year, and or that people that for a while, like we used to hang out with, and we're like, oh, like we would see them all the time, and then they're like dating a guy, and it's like, oh, we haven't seen this person for a while. And I don't think they would mind if we mentioned it on the podcast or anything, but it's like there's like four or five people that we had mentioned, and they're right in the demo that these girls from Sex and the City are in. And so I think that like first time around, I was 31 when we started watching, 31 or 32.
I thought you were going to say first time around, I was 31 when I got engaged. And then I was like, there's a second time around already?
No, I was 27, which is crazy.
That's wild.
It's crazy. It's like not crazy for a lot of places, but I do feel like for New York, like a lot of times you meet, I feel like we have a lot of friends that were not married when they were 27.
Yeah.
And we have not many friends at all that are married when they were in their early 20s.
I think also let's think about it this way. Like
one thing I love about the episode is like they're still in, like, if you were writing the idea for the show, this is still in your top five ideas that you're just like, oh, married people versus single people. And it's like,
right.
You know, when you're a lot of times first and second ideas are so good because they're the first, they're like the freshest meat on the bone that everybody wants to see. This show, this episode is like that in that way. But I think also that that they flip the script to be like, most of the time it's depicted on television and like culturally, it's like the girl wanting to be married. So they flipped it by being like, I'm Carrie. Am I crazy? I don't want to be married right now. And the guy. So when we're thinking about this being first aired, I don't think you'd normally see this guy that's like a baby toy. Like, let's get married. And she's like,
And that's particularly pathetic that he saved that baby toy since he was in Aspen like 3 years ago.
Is there anything, John?
Really? Because I have this Himalayan rock salt thing that I have for my child to play with sitting on my desk right now.
Dude, I love a Himalayan salt lamp. We put one of those on our wedding registry and we ended up getting like 7 of them.
I don't really understand it. What's the are they calming? Is that
spiritual
what it is?
Powers.
They're supposed to give you like they're supposed to be like those copper bracelets, I think, but they just look cool when all the lights are off. That's basically
spiritual powers.
I went on a date with a girl and she said she ran out of salt one time and then she took a hammer and started like knocking that.
Dude, that's next level.
Yeah. I licked one time. They definitely taste salty.
That's pretty next level.
Yeah.
I also want to ask you two, because like they mentioned these things like specifically about like what they hate about being single. And like, I'd be curious to get your guys' POV. Is there like, when you look at some of your married friends, is there something, let's break it down here. Is there something that you guys like hate about being single that like you wish you can have that you see in married friends? Or are you guys like, yeah, I'm pretty cool, but like being single is great?
I think that I am I remember a friend told me, what if I just what?
Start crying.
Just like went so hard to just be like, I am not fulfilled.
I've been waiting for the rewatch to talk about the fact that there's a hole in my life. And I just feel like
it's funny you ask that, John, because
I booked a flight to go to Aspen to buy baby toys.
Because it hurts.
I was pausing because I remembered a thing a friend told me. He lived in New York. We went to college together, and then like we reconnected when I first moved here, and we were both like older, like in our late 20s at that point. And he was talking about all our friends from college getting married before us. Cause like I'm, you know, kind of like both of you, but like I have a ton of friends that got married right out of college, like very young. And he was like, you and I don't necessarily need to get married. And what he meant by that, it wasn't like, hey bro, we can be out there all the time. He was like, we're both like capable dudes. We're not like, there are some guys that are like, I need to get married to live the rest of my life because I can't do anything. And I have to go work and someone has to set up my life. And he was
the married version of Capote Duncan. I need to get married tonight.
I got to get married tonight. But he was like, we're both capable people. And he's like, and also I think socially we were really good at like holding a social network of friends without needing like, we never needed to be in a relationship. You know, there are people that like they need to be in a relationship. Like we had both had good relationships. We just didn't need to. So I see it kind of both ways. I mean, I think the thing that I am probably the most jealous of is like when I have hung out with you and Katie, John, or like other married friends, sometimes there is the weird thing of like leaving alone and then being like, well, back to my thoughts and my couch, you know, and being like, oh, you just always have this other friend to hang out with. However, there are sometimes though, and it's happened more in quarantine, where like I have a day and then I'm like, I'm going to go on a run now. And then I come home and then do this. And I'm like, it is awesome being autonomous and just like doing your own freaking thing. And it's not even like I could date whoever I want. It's just like, it's really fun to live life by yourself sometimes. It goes both ways. I think the biggest thing for me, and then I'll shut up, is that like I wonder about like the thing that you and Katie or people in healthy marriages have, where it's like, you've kind of got this partner to go through these steps of life and it accelerates your life, where you're like, oh, we're going to start a family. We're going to buy a house, or we're going to like start a business together or whatever, or just have more social time. I think it's possible to sometimes top out as a single person to where you're just like, I just do what I want, but you might not hit those other things. And that worries me sometimes.
Hey, all you true crime fans, this is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morph.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yeah. I think like I do think that there is like I've never been a super girlfriend guy. Like there's it's some people.
It's a plane.
It's super She's got girlfriend great hair. Guy.
It's super girlfriend guy.
I also like instead of this guy wants to get married so hard, his name should be Companion Duncan. He's not Capote Duncan. He's Companion Duncan.
I got to get married tonight. Anyway, you've never been a super girlfriend.
I went to Aspen and I got to get married tonight.
It's so funny. This like feels like slightly too specific, therefore like extra vulnerable. But I will say that the two things that like really make me want to have like be like, oh, I'd like to be married or in like a relationship are when I make breakfast on weekends. Anytime I like have a free day and I'm like making breakfast, I'm like, oh, it'd be nice if I had just got to fry an extra piece of bacon for my girlfriend who's a vegetarian, but she's going to get into it. No, I'm kidding. or going like on a quick trip out of the city that I think like there's sometimes when you're normal in the city or just in life, you can pack it full of things that are truly fulfilling, that it's like, I have like some artistic things that I work on with myself and with other people. And I have like friendships and I love my work and I'm close to my family members. And so there's not that much that I'm just like, oh man, like I'm missing out. And then sometimes if like a few friends are like you and Katie, you're like, we're going upstate. You're like, oh yeah, I think I probably just don't do that as much.
Yeah.
Because, but like when me, Corey and Harlan, the dancer on Valentine's Day, and it just so happened. We're like, hey, in 2 weekends and it happened to be Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But that night, some of you may have seen it on our Instagram. We just got blitzed out of our minds on like wine. We got five bottles of wine that cost $170.
Six bottles of wine, I think.
Well, one was a Magnum, so it was five bottles, but one was a double bottle.
Oh, right. And one you had gotten some stuff to celebrate, some like great stuff that happened to Harlan. So you got some champagne too.
Yeah. So, and it was like, it wasn't until the way home that I was like, oh yeah, like it'd be great to do that with do that again with a girl.
This is the difference between that trip is that I had taken a trip. I think maybe each one of us had, without like outing anyone's personal life, like I think each one of us had taken a trip with a romantic interest to the same town in the past. And I had like gone to a super nice restaurant and there was like this like great, like it was just like a great weekend. And this time, and so like I had that experience. This time I went on a hike in the snow and then I slept in a single room Hampton Inn with two other adult dudes and we just drank a ton of wine.
It was great. It was funny.
What did you guys watch on the hotel TV? That's what I want to know.
We watched a lot of local news.
No, we watched local news and then we watched Wipeout reruns.
Oh my gosh, we watched Wipeout, which is like
how great is Hotel Wipeout, TV?
Hotel TV is it was so fun. It was, you're right. Hotel TV is amazing.
We don't have a TV in our bedroom. We don't want a TV in our bedroom. Not judging anyone that does.
Right.
But when we go to hotels, we get in, we lay in bed, and the TV is on the entire time. And like some of the best TV watching we've ever had. Pitbulls and Parolees. We go to HGTV. It's just like the most fun.
I'll tell you, because this was in Beacon, the last little upstate date that I went on was the same town that we went to our Valentine's Day thing.
Yep.
And it was
engaged, Mount Beacon.
Yeah, you got engaged there.
Oh man, that is see, that's a special.
See, you got engaged there, but I went and slept in the same bed with Kevin as an adult there while another man slept in the bed beside me. And then we freaking woke up the next morning and went to Panera.
We had a grand old time.
So who had the better weekend, John? You tell me.
So have fun being engaged.
Hey.
Huh? I bet you didn't subscribe to Panera's monthly coffee club. We didn't either, but we saw it advertised. Yeah, and we could have.
How good are bread bowls? You guys have heard me talk about this before, but I need to share with the podcast.
Dude, honestly,
it started as a joke, but no lie. I think one of the best wedding meals you could have is a bread bowl soup buffet. I think it would be get a bread bowl. There's like six different soups. You got your clam chowders. You got your French onions. You got your broccoli cheddars. And you can just get in there artisanal or small bread bowl and just fill it up.
And then it's no dance floor. Everyone just like goes and naps on the little yoga.
Everyone just goes and farts soup and falls asleep. But that's fine. It's great. Fun.
I think this episode, I think, gets down to one of the early, whether people totally relate to it or not, it is definitely, or totally feel comfortable. There is a definite moment in your 30s, whether you specifically do, that you just start see people peeling off. And so you can totally not relate to those characters, but that doesn't matter because the experience is true. That is just like, oh, if we went to a big party of all of the exact friends we hung out with 7 years ago, there would be a bunch of kids at that party and those would all have been unmarried people 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The
times that I think not being married has been weird has been weddings that I've been invited to where I didn't know a lot of people besides the bride and groom. And I got invited to a wedding and I was like a last minute addition because I had just met the bride and groom like a few months before they got married and they were super awesome and being like, hey, why don't you come to our wedding? And they like sent me a thing and then I wrote in a guest and then I got an email that was like, hey dude, we love you so much. We can't bring a guest. And so, and they were like, but this other dude will be here and he's not bringing a guest either. So me and that guy just like rolled together. But everyone else was married. So
the
then
dream,
it was just,
the dream so was for them fun. To say this other girl who's super cute is going to be there too. And then you get the romance flavor going and you're in a strange thing. And it's just like, what room 304? Let's go watch Wipeout together. Clothes on. We're just going to throw on some local news.
You like local news?
You like local news? Hey, put the little baggie in and I'll go and I'm going to go fill the ice up and then we're going to drink water out of plastic cups.
The good hotels are the ones that have two glass cups in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Ooh.
Except I'm always a little scared. I'm going to drop them on the ground and shard my feet up. Ooh. But the other time that it has been tough, and I wonder what is this experience like for everyone else is quarantine. Quarantine was very hard, not being married or in a relationship and living alone.
Also very hard, and not true to my relationship necessarily, but also very hard if you are married because
yeah, true.
A lot of people realize they probably didn't like their spouse or girlfriend or partner as much as they thought they did.
Yeah.
Just an article in the Times today, the New York Times.
Sorry.
But it was a COVID casualty. Married couples sex. Mm. They're saying that sex rates between married couples have plummeted over the past year.
Interesting.
Really? Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer.
Well,
yeah.
So it's primary couples and single people. So
I know. I wrote into the New York Times. I was like, it's not just married people.
What about the people that live alone?
Well, what about the people that have to go find someone that wants to have sex with them? Still.
Let's flip it real quick, John. So in this episode, she goes out to the Hamptons. It's funny. We were like, I was like, I don't remember what this episode was. And then I was like, oh, it's Pepper Miltic.
Yeah. Good muffins.
But before they have the weird thing, it's still so weird when he's just drinking the coffee, Porky Pig in front of her. Like,
dude, I don't understand his game. Death. Yeah, exactly. What is he doing?
I think his game is to, because she doesn't get it either. And I think it's like, I'm married. This is the way that I can, because the wife is like not totally shocked, but I think what he's doing is just being like, I'm happily married. It's not sexual. This is my little way to act out.
Weird.
It's my little way to like get a thrill because I'm married now. That's just what I think it is based on their their chat and chew where she's like, it wasn't sexual. I think it's his way of just being like, getting a little weird, it's cheap like, thrill. It's like, also, a little creepy.
I mean, I'm super team Carrie this watch through, but like maybe she's maybe this is like the first sign of her being an unreliable narrator where it's like, maybe he was just walking to the bathroom with his dongus out. But like what she saw was him standing there like creepy grinning at her. I don't know.
No. Well, the thing I was going to flip so weird, though.
Go ahead.
I know it's very weird. The thing I want to ask though is that, then before that happens, the couple, she's like, everyone at a Hamptons house invite has a sing for their supper. And so as a single person, you got to tell what it's like. Do you guys ever feel like that? Like you on the other side of me and Kevin, when you're married, you'd be like, oh, I wonder, like, what are you doing? You know, I don't feel like you ever feel like that. You're interested when one of us is dating someone, but.
Yeah, no, I think that like, Let me think about my response here, but I don't necessarily think of relationships as an exchanging of like services or commodities. It's not and I think the unfortunate thing about the world is a lot of people do. It's like, what can I give you and in return get from you? And like, that's not how I necessarily view friendships or my partnership with Katie or any relationship in my life, because I think if you do, and this is getting a little bit tangential, but if you do like view relationships as like on of an exchanging of things that you can get, it seems to leave one person feeling like cheapened out on the exchange. And so no, like I'm generally interested in the two of you, and I think you guys are generally interested in Katie and I, and I think that's like what makes a solid relationship. But I imagine like in Katie and I's life, there have been like clients of ours where it's definitely like sing for your supper, and literally we went out for one of our clients' birthday parties, and Katie literally had to like perform karaoke for her, and Katie was like, I feel like if I don't do this, I'm not going to get invited back for work. And it was like the most real sing for your supper scenario that I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
Which was funny.
I've seen that happen at jobs before. Just, you know, I mean, I think everyone probably sees that depending on some jobs.
I mean, when you think about it, like everybody goes through, I mean, not everybody, but even if you go older, like it's funny looking into the future of the series and knowing that it's like, they can say all this now, but you know, Samantha's the only person that ends up living that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because at a certain point, I mean, being in quarantine kind of taught everyone this, that it's like at a certain point, like, yeah, there's only so many movies you can watch. There's only so many times you can get drunk. There's only so many, I heard someone talking about it. They're like, yeah, at a certain point you've gone to all the restaurants, you've seen all the movies, you've done all the things. What else is there left to do? Get married. And I don't think that's the best attitude. I don't think you need to go into it with that attitude. But I think a lot of people, you do all those things and then it's like, okay, what more do I want out of life that is like a slight investment in the future? And I think that a lot of times those people then are sort of like, just tell me about like, what'd you do this weekend? It's like, oh, we went to this thing and then there was this party in Bushwick and then we went to that. It's like, that's awesome. And it's like, they don't want to do that, because if they wanted to, they would probably even still be like, whatever, I'll ask my husband or I'll tell my wife and like, we'll do it once a month. But it's like, it's fun to like relive those the same way in college. It's like,
right.
I don't want to drink 3-4 Locos, but the time I did it and we played Madden all night was fun.
Yeah. 100%. There's another question that I had. She mentions like this relationship, like trying on a DKNY dress. Like, you know, you're not going to get it, but you want to try it on to see if it fits. And this is like what she, how she kind of approaches this relationship. And do you think that's a fair analogy? Is that like an appropriate way to view relationships? And I guess my question is with this guy in particular, do you think Carrie knew right away that it wasn't going to work and she still just like wanted the fling? Or talk to me about like your views on the line, like try someone on just to see if it fits.
I think the scenario that happened with her, because she didn't seem into it from the beginning, but the scenario that happened with her was that she was in a forced setup. So she, since she wasn't going to say, I don't know about this, she kind of felt like she had to go along with it, which you always have agency. You don't have to go along. But she, I think that she was like, we're in a setup. It's kind of awkward. And then I think she thought, well, I'll just give it a shot. But I think at some point, like when she was giving him a hug, which by the way, she was wearing this like red trench coat and like blue bucket hat. And like, those are things we didn't notice the first time, but there are certain outfits that I'm like, what a weird calculated choice that actually like kind of worked. It was like really cool. But as she was saying that, I was like, she knows that she's like not into this. And I think it's okay, as someone who is a classic overthinker. I think it's okay to say, you know, I'm not sure about this, but I'm going to try this on in the sense that I'm like, I'm not going to stop this 20 miles before it starts. Mm-hmm. But I think if you are thinking, I would never do this, but I'm just going to like have some fun for a month at the risk of like kind of leading someone on, like, I don't think that's great. And I kind of think she started to get into that territory a little bit, you know? I don't know if she knew it at the beginning, but I think it seemed like she definitely knew it like in this last half of the episode.
I feel like her relationship is like a direct juxtaposition of Charlotte's relationship with him.
Yeah.
Where she was like, I'll try it on. I'll see what it's like. I'll meet his friends. I'll go to this party. And then I'll tell him after it's not going to work out. Where Charlotte's was just like, we're not on the same page with China. Peace. I'm out of here. This relationship is not going to work. Like, I feel like Charlotte probably sooner rather than she should terminates relationships, and Carrie maybe let this one go on longer than she should have. But
yeah,
I was just curious to see like what your guys take. Is that what dating is, like trying on clothes?
And I think it's also learning the boundaries of that, because I don't know, like I don't learning how clearest to communicate that, because I don't know, like, you don't want to come off, but like, that guy's in a tough position, because he said, like, I scared you away. Like, I was too, what'd he say? Too desperate? Or,
oh, he said, could you smell the desperation? I think is what he said.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I thought that was an interesting scene to show a guy that was just like, how do you express that? Because that does scare people away. Like, human, that's part of human nature. It's like, the second it sucks that it is this way, but it is true that it's like, if someone doesn't text you back, you immediately perk up in a way that's like, huh, I want them to text me back. And like, I think the best case scenario is that you can just clearly communicate. And so I think she went out early, but that's just part of dating more as an adult, is like being clear about your expectations and being clear about what you're looking for. Even if that is like, I've talked to some people that they're just like, first day, they're like, yeah, like, I don't want to be married. And in my head, I do, but that's not the first thing I'm thinking of on a first date. And so in my head, I'm like, oh, that's funny. Like, what am I doing here? But also, like,
if they said I want to be married, I'd be like, oh, what am I doing here? So it's like, it is a sensitive thing because you don't want to be like, you know, but I do think that people need to.
But he didn't, he also didn't say that on the first date. He said it like,
true,
on the like sixth date, maybe like fourth and
fifth. Cause he took her out a bunch in like the first week or something.
Some
like
movies.
That. They saw like movies.
Godzilla.
So,
City of Angels.
You know who's in Godzilla?
The monster, Godzilla.
Matthew Broderick.
Oh,
Matthew Broderick, her husband's the
lead. I actually was literally just reading about the history of Godzilla. They're coming out with King Kong versus Godzilla, which I traditionally don't watch movies like that, but it's COVID. I think I probably will.
Okay, so we got a good question here. It's from
I'm not
A.
done
Costello.
Talking about Godzilla, actually.
I was going to say, you really cut him off on that because I had a Godzilla story as well.
Okay, time's a ticking. Okay, this is a good. So we have a good question from.
You know what's really funny is last week when we were recording, my mic was turned down and there were moments where that kept happening. And I was like, I guess they can't hear me. And
no,
this
it has
week,
nothing
I,
to do with your mic.
This week I fixed it. My mic volume is good and you still just talk right over it.
And it just has to do with Kevin just powerhousing.
Just tell you like. I'll tell you why, because I have something to say.
If this isn't a Godzilla related Instagram question, I'm going to be pissed.
I was looking at the Instagram. Okay, so the question is, who would win, Mothra or Godzilla?
Godzilla was an allegory for the atomic bomb, and I never knew that and thought that was interesting. Okay, read your fucking Instagram question.
How would Mothra ever fight against Godzilla? That's the question I have. Moths are made of fucking paper.
Yeah, but he's a big moth. So,
they're attracted to light, and Godzilla has light in his, I don't know. All right, go ahead.
All right. Isn't it weird how Carrie gets blamed for seeing her friend's husband's dick? Is it weird that Carrie gets blamed for her friend's husband's dick? From @acostella on Instagram.
It is very weird.
It is weird.
I definitely didn't think about that, but it is really weird. And yeah, I think that relationship's probably not the healthiest relationship. And like you said, that woman who's married to Pepper Grinder Dick is probably very insecure. And that's just like another example of her attacking Carrie for something that she should be attacking her husband for.
Yeah.
Great question though.
Yeah. Great question. That whole thing doesn't make sense.
Well, the other thing, it happens the same way with Kim Cattrall and the guy who's just, she's talking to when the wife comes in.
Wait, are you talking about the guy that looks like Stephen King?
Yeah.
Dude, that guy looks so much like Stephen King.
Jacked Stephen King.
Yeah, he's like super jacked Stephen King.
But I think, I mean, John, you're in like a healthy relationship. So I feel like, not just healthy, but I feel like you and Katie are aggressively not jealous people. Mm. Like it's like barely in your nature to be jealous in a way that other people like are naturally jealous and then they have to deal with that as best as they can. But like, I don't know. Is that true to, I don't know. I feel like there is truth to that, that it's like once your husbands are married, like a lot of men cheat. A lot of men have their eye, are still on the prowl, even in small flirtatious ways. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like this wouldn't be on the show, especially this early, if it wasn't a thing that was like much talked about, that some married women have to play some hardcore defense.
Yeah. I mean, plot lines like this are kind of difficult for me to relate to because I am very not like sexually motivated. Like I was the, and when you talk about like the guys that always have to be in relationships, like I didn't date someone 10 years prior to dating Katie. Relationships in that part of my life were never a motivator for me. So I can't imagine a world in which I would feel the need to just smugly stand outside of one of Katie's friends' rooms while they were visiting us with my dick out. Like I don't know what that feeling is like for that person.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's different.
That guy, so.
I think that's different than you being, that's, I was talking more about, cause I think where that stemmed from is the wife getting mad at Katie cause she's threatened by her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's free to have sex with whoever she wants, like Kim says. And then that's what happened at the bar. I'm talking more about if you were chatting at a party with another girl, I don't think Katie would be like, hi, and what's your name?
No. Not at all. No, I think that's like, that's also like a character of, I know all types of people in all types of relationships, and I don't know very many people who would be like that aggressive about their insecurities in their relationship. Mm-hmm. I think the way that would really play out is like, hey, like I saw you like talking to that person in the bar. Like is there anything we need to chat about or something like that? Like trying to approach it like that. Maybe there's plenty of people in relationships outside of our social circle that where they're like, I need to keep a tight grasp on my person, because if not, they will go find Jolene the banker and hook up with them, you know? So
yeah.
I bet there's you know how every 12 hours there's a Darman Greg reference?
Oh yeah.
I bet everywhere in the world when there's parties, every Saturday night there's 100,000 conversations between couples on the way home from a Saturday night 100%. They're like, what was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you talking to Brian? How the fuck do you know Brian?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how does she know Brian?
I don't know. I don't want to make like huge generalizations about people's relationships, but I imagine if those conversations are happening frequently in a relationship, that there's some insecurity issues that probably need to be hammered out.
Yeah. That's a red flag.
Hey, I want to ask y'all. So we got a voicemail that I'm just going to play the last part of it. It's a general question, but I think it actually, I'll just play it. Hang on. This is from Sonia. She says,
I was wondering what you guys think of the rewatch. Are you like realizing things that you didn't see the first time around? Because I always feel like when I rewatch it, I notice things that I did not pick up on the first time. Thank you guys so much. I love you. Bye.
So that was Sonia. Thank you, Sonia. Thank you for your voicemail. Uh-huh.
I know we joked about it at the beginning of this, but rewatching this, these three short episodes that we watched has been so much fun. When I watch a TV show, I'm very like in the moment, and I need to like, even when we watched the first season, I like wrote down meticulous notes. I would write like 3 pages of notes for the entire show and kind of be so into documenting everything and not forgetting everything and getting talking points that I kind of almost missed it. And now I'm just having the most fun just watching it like I think you're supposed to, which is like laid back, taking it all in, right, attaching yourself to the goof. So Sonia, I am having an absolute blast.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it partially. I feel like we're more relaxed. But I think we're more relaxed to have longer conversations about things related to the show. But one thing specifically, it's because we got the Himalayan salt rock lamp. That's why. One thing specifically I'm noticing, and this might just be a first season thing. I think it is a first season thing. We see a lot more of Carrie's life and friends outside of her three women friends, outside of the four girls. Like that random couple she was eating lunch with, who they were very weird. The ones that were married, and he was like, remember that day we got married, baby? And she was like, what do you mean? Like that couple was the ones that set him up with the friend. But I feel like this is a first season thing, but we're seeing a lot more of her world outside of the four ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And I think that probably goes away once you just get into their world and like Big becomes more of a thing. But I think that's probably patterned after just like what the New York scene was back then.
Yeah. And I think they need to fully flush out the supporting characters more. Like eventually every character, which I will say, tell me if I'm crazy, but does the lesbian that Miranda go on a date with not remind you of a lesbian version of Steve?
I did not think Steve of vibes. That.
I'm sorry. She's got Steve vibes. Anyway,
she kind of does have Steve vibes after Miranda kisses her. And then she's like, no, she's like, yeah, not gay. Nope, not a bit. Nope, you're not gay. And you got to work on your free throw form.
I don't know.
Dude, that actress, I looked her up. She's been in like a ton of stuff. And also, the guy that set her up, we noticed this the first time, but the guy that set her up with the with Sid, the lesbian, is John Benjamin, Archer.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Archer. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue on this journey. Next journey. Up is Valley of the 20-something Guys, and that's on our Patreon. So go subscribe to our Patreon for $5 a month, or if you want to be our Mr. Big, give us a little more. And
just follow do a quick mental with exercise us. With me, listener. Think about all the stupid shit that you spend $5 on every single month. Think yeah. about that. Just like, what? Like, there's so many times that I spend $5. I'm like, why the fuck did I spend $5 on that? It was worthless. It was bad coffee. It was a drink I didn't even like. It was it was food that I purchased and then it got rotten. I had to get rid of. You know, it wouldn't spoil or taste bad. Being our patron,
mm-hmm.
being one of the select few and proud supporters of the Bradshaw Boys.
Mm-hmm. That can be you.
We'll be in your ears
twice a week.
You'll be getting that
double the pleasure, double the fun with the Bradshaw Boys Patreon.
Oh, wow! Look at that. We got to record that as a jingle.
That's right.
Double the pleasure. All right, y'all. Double
later,
the fun.
Taters. Love you guys so much.
Shrewd move, counselor.
Do you remember that?
Bye.
Messages. If you remember that, later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.